There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. New episodes every Sunday and Wednesday. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing on this fine Sunday?
I'm good. It is the Sabbath, and cometh the Sabbath, cometh the Abroad in Japan podcast number two in the week. I've done nothing this week. I've been relaxing. Right. Played a few video games, and yeah, that's about it, really. Just getting there.
Very good, Pete. Very good. Well, I've had a more productive week. Remember, two episodes ago, I think, I mentioned I was going to do this weekly meetup with Natsuki, just online, right, where we could practice our languages. So one of my goals this year, one of my three resolutions, along with get outdoors more and throw out my asbestos bath mat, was to become good at Japanese again. I say again because my level has dipped and got worse over the years. And one of my tactics was to speak with Natsuki every week and use Japanese, exclusively Japanese, and not sort of bounce back and forth between English and Japanese like we always do. So that's kind of gone well. We've done it two or three times now. It's been a lot of fun. We've taught each other new words. But what it's descended into is just an hour of me helping Natsuki brand his products that he's trying to sell. And it's taken on. Already, I knew Natsuki would do this. I knew he couldn't have a simple little conversation every week.
Get it had something to be out some of it. Sort of
profit, money making, diabolical marketing scheme to sort of cash in on this. And I've spent the last one yesterday with him. Yesterday, I spent like an hour going through a thesaurus and finding different ways to describe, or like finding different words, because he's got a spray he wants to call elasticity spray, right? And the idea is this spray you put on your face and it makes your face better, gets rid of wrinkles, gives your face, your skin better elasticity. But he doesn't want the word elasticity. He wanted the word bouncy, which just sounds a bit weird. And he's really adamant. He was really adamant. He wants the word bouncy. What can we call it though? Give me a hand here, because I ended the chat with him by sort of saying, oh, well, I'll have a think and I'll come back next week and we'll sort it out then. So I've got about 5 days to come up with another name for his spray. I gave him like one idea. I said to him, you should call it eternal spray, because the idea being it gives your face an eternally youthful look. Also came up with boost spray, because it boosts your skin and he liked that one. But have you got any ideas that aren't bounce spray?
Natsuki's facial glow up. Natsuki's the face iron. How about that?
The face
like
iron.
But like for your face, yeah. Well, wrinkle be gone.
It's an interesting balancing act, right? Because it has to be English words, right? And to make it clear, Natsuki wants the sort of brand image to be in English, and the labelling and the logo, because a lot of Japanese companies do that, right? It's kind of prestigious to have it in English, and Natsuki's no exception. But what it means is he can't use complicated, difficult English words that Japanese people won't know. Because whilst Japanese people generally, a lot of them might have trouble speaking English. A lot of them still know the words. They've learned thousands of words throughout their time growing up. So apparently bounce, everybody knows the word bounce, but I just can't see that working. Sounds like a just weird, isn't it? So
it's very enjoyable. It's kind of,
you need to find a word like eternal spray. But then he sort of said that, oh, it sounds good, but I don't think people are going to know what that is, and people aren't going to remember it. It needs to be a memorable word. So there you go. That's your remit. Yeah. That's your kind of outline, Pete. Any other ideas?
I'll come back
any
with that.
Kind of simple words?
Love face.
Love face spray.
Double skin. It makes your skin double soft. So just double skin.
Double skin. Sounds like a condition. Skin. Sounds like a medical condition.
Double skin. Too much skin. Oh, lordy.
Some work required there. But if you're listening in, any of you guys that have any experience in marketing products, health products, medical cosmetics.
Sounds like it needs help.
Let us know. Yeah, drop us a line at abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We've got story of the week from Matt. And it says, hi both, Chris, Pete. I hope you guys are well. You mentioned in a recent episode about weird phrases on learning language learning apps. I'm not very far into the Japanese Duolingo tree, but this was a highlight of a recent lesson. Matt has attached a photo of Duolingo, very popular app, teaching him the phrase "sumimasen, ningo desu," literally, "excuse me, I'm an apple." Matt says it's extremely useful for my future Japanese travels. What do you think about this, guys? Matt, sumimasen, ningo desu. Excuse me, I'm an apple. Can you think of a situation where "excuse me, I'm an apple" would be applicable, Pete?
If you are buying a phone charger.
Right.
And you don't know whether to get a Sony, you know, an Android version or an Apple one. Excuse me, I am an apple.
Genius. That's actually a pretty good example. You should work for Duolingo. What I'll say about Duolingo, I get so many messages from folks asking me, oh, Chris, if I use Duolingo, will I be fluent in 6 months when I come to Japan? The answer is no. I don't know anybody who's ever reached fluency through Duolingo. But what I will say is I do like Duolingo. Like, I used it. I remember I was on a bus once for like 7 hours and I downloaded it to learn Spanish. And it was really fun, right? It makes you feel like you're doing really well. It gives you little badges and awards every time you work your way through. But like, it just feels more like a game than actually something that's tangibly useful. I think it still does more good than harm, and I still think people should use it, but I don't think it's going to be the magic solution to becoming fluent at Japanese. And have you used it, Pete? Like, have you used Duolingo?
I've not. I had a quick flick through for Spanish like you, I think, but nothing. Nothing further than that. I'm sure I've exhausted every possible possible avenue when it comes to apps that teach you Japanese. But I just find that I just you need to just get into that routine. If you can get into that routine and using one of those apps, fantastic. But I just don't have the staying power, to be quite frank.
Oh. I'd love to somehow boost your Japanese skills in some way. I think you should do it, though. Maybe you should go on Duolingo, do some Japanese lessons, and get back to us next week and tell us what the results are. And if you've gone beyond phrases
I'll do a quick one.
As complex and as useful as sumimasen,
I'm an apple.
Yeah. I should give it a whirl, though. I shouldn't judge it too harshly. I did look through it, but I think the reason they've used that sentence structure and bizarre sentence, though, is because early on in the app you only learn a few simple words, right? Like sumimasen, excuse me, and nouns like apple, ningo. So I guess that's the only sentence they could think of that used the few words and the little vocabulary that they did teach. I just realized there's two stories of the week here. So again, this is a greedy week. Should we have a story of the week again? I guess that wasn't really a story.
Get involved.
That was just a little discussion over Duolingo.
Did a bit of Duolingo.
Yeah. This one is from Kevin. And he says, what's up, Chris and Pete? My name's Kevin. I'm from Hong Kong, half Malaysian as well, currently studying in Brisbane. Back in 2016, I travelled to Tokyo with my mum and we stayed right in the heart of Kabukicho in Shinjuku. We had dinner there, one of these restaurants that mainly locals frequent and rarely any tourists know. It was one of those places that specialises in sakura niku. Do you remember what sakura niku is, Pete?
Horse meat.
Hey, why is it called sakura niku?
Because it is pink like the sakura blossom.
It sounds so nice, doesn't it? Sakura, cherry blossom, niku, meat.
Lovely.
Sakura niku. It's not quite as glamorous as that when it comes out on a plate. But anyway, Kevin continues. After being seated, the waitress brought out two small side dishes for us. And I tried to tell her that, with my limited Japanese, that we didn't order it. She replied something in Japanese, and I thought she meant that it was free. Now, at the time, I didn't have any mobile data, so I couldn't use Google Translate. But my mum and I happily accepted the dish. But upon paying for the meal, there was one extra charge on the receipt. We know this because we've been keeping tabs on how many dishes we ordered. We only ordered less than 10. Again, I tried to ask the waitress in my limited Japanese and her in her limited English, telling her that we didn't order the dish. In the end, we just couldn't communicate, so we gave up, paid, and left with a sour expression on our faces, thinking that we'd been cheated because we were tourists. It was quite a shock for us, as that was my sixth trip to Japan. We've never experienced that before, and Japan is well known for their hospitality. I've only learned about otoshi after that trip from one of your videos in the last few years, and I think that was what the waitress was trying to tell me. At least that's what I hope. All the best, guys. Kevin. That's interesting, and a really interesting point worth talking about, actually, for our listeners that haven't been to Japan. Do you know what otoshi is, Pete? Have you solved the mystery of this story?
No, I really haven't. I don't know what it is.
Otoshi is like a starter dish you get when you go into a restaurant. And a lot of restaurants have this. It's kind of like a seating charge, right? Almost like a seating charge. But instead of just paying 500 yen blindly for nothing, just for the pleasure of sitting down, they disguise it with a little dish at the start called otoshi. And, you know, if you go into an izakaya or a restaurant, all customers get this at the start of the meal. And you get it kind of at the same time your first drinks, your beers come out. Even before you've ordered something, they'll bring it out. And it can be something like, it's usually like a little dish. It can be like natto. It can be a little bowl of pork or something. It's a really small dish, typically. But I think the idea being they can get an extra bit of money out of you with the seating charge, but it doesn't cost them that much money to make these otoshi dishes en masse. But what I will say is I quite like them. I quite like the otoshi because it gives you a sense of how good the restaurant's going to be. Like my favorite one is yakitori, skewered kind of meat chain that I go to. They give you a little bit of chicken soup. That's really nice, just having a little bit of chicken soup while you order your first course. But you must have experienced it though, Pete, without realizing maybe what it was.
Yeah. I mean, you get it in bars as well. You just get a bowl or something. Yeah. And that's what they say they're charging you for. But really, it's just a seating charge. And that's something that's quite alien to us in the West, certainly, or certainly in Europe. We just don't really have seating charges. We don't have drink minimums and things like that. You know, you can come and go as you please. But obviously, we have tipping as well. So just treat it like a tipper, I guess.
Swings and roundabouts, huh? Swings and roundabouts. But
Exactly.
But I like otoshi. And what I will say is if you go to a bar or a hostess club or a snack bar or something, maybe be a bit wary about eating them because I had one in a bar in January last year and I was the most sick I've ever been in about 3 years. And it was some sort of pork dish. I don't know what was in it, but I was very badly sick. And it was either that or the massive amounts of Baileys that I drank, but I suspect it was a combination of the two.
Probably that.
But yeah, no. Don't eat it in a bar necessarily, but do eat it in a restaurant. But yeah, otoshi, remember that. News of the week. We've got two news stories. The first one involves the Olympics. Unfortunately, 80% of people now want the Olympics to be cancelled or postponed again. Not really a surprise, is it? Given that the world still hasn't recovered. I think everyone thought 2021 it was going to be a miracle the first month, and so far it's not gone so well for a lot of reasons. But a survey found that 35% of people in Japan want the games to be cancelled, and 45% favoured another delay. The Olympics this year is supposed to be held from the 23rd of July to the 8th of August in Tokyo. And it does feel like that. I don't know. It still feels a little bit dicey. You know, especially as Tokyo did declare a state of emergency this week. Old Yoshihide Suga, the Prime Minister, has declared another state of emergency. Doesn't really mean a lot. It means bars and restaurants in Tokyo have to shut by 8 p.m. There's no fines or anything, but there is like a blacklist. They might be blacklisted. But I think there's financial incentives for restaurants and bars to shut down at 8 p.m. And they're encouraging people not to go out as well. Whether it works or not remains to be seen. According to my friends in Tokyo, not that much has changed. But 79% of people also said that Prime Minister Suga was late to declare the state of emergency. And now they don't like him. That's unfortunate for him, given he's not had the job all that long. What do you reckon, Pete? Like, will the Olympics?
Like our leader. Well, could they not just, I guess they're going to miss out. I just think they're going to miss out on the money regardless. Could they not just do like they do with the football tournaments, just have the players in bubbles and do it like that?
Bubbles.
I mean, in bubbles.
They should do it all on Zoom. Crack out Zoom.
Just do it all on Zoom. It's miserable, isn't it? But still.
It is.
It's rubbish.
Yeah, it's a shame, but we'll see. I won't make any judgments now. I won't make any assumptions, but we will see. But the fact that 80% the people want the Olympics to be cancelled or postponed, and the fact that the Prime Minister himself is growing incredibly unpopular each and every day suggests that the Japanese government will probably go ahead and either cancel it or postpone it. Hopefully they postpone it, because I still think it's unfair that Japan has spent something like $50 billion doing up the country and building stadiums, preparing for the Olympics for nothing. I think that'll be a real shame. And I don't see what the harm would be in pushing back the Olympics in other countries. Any ideas why that might be a problem?
Well, I mean, I don't see why they can't just bubble everyone and just take the hit that no one's going to be there to buy stuff. I mean, eating out, drinking out is going to change completely, I think, even once the vaccine's in everybody's bodies. But I agree. It seems to me it's not the spirit of the Olympics to delay it further just to get more people, the chance for people to frequent the shops and restaurants around the venues and the hotels and have the business. You know, that's not the spirit of the Olympics. The spirit of the Olympics is the very best athletes getting together and duking it out. They obviously couldn't do it last year, but now I think there are some pretty simple things you could do to have an Olympics. I mean, you could put vaccines in people's arms for one, I guess, but I don't know what the political fallout of that would be. Putting a load of vaccinations inside very fit young athletes might be a bit problematic. But it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. They may get away with it. They may get away with limited crowds. You know, J League finished a few weeks ago, allowing a certain amount of people. There was a wrestling show, Wrestle Kingdom, that we spoke about last week on the show, that I think was at half capacity. It's eminently doable, especially in Japan. You just won't get any foreigners coming in.
I don't know. I don't want to make any predictions. I feel like it'll still go ahead, which means it now won't, because my predictions tend to go spectacularly wrong, as we established last year. But we will see. Hopefully the country will reopen in the second half of this year and we can get you over here, Pete. The second story, though, and if you do get over here, one of the things you can enjoy is the background music played in Japanese supermarkets and stores. I don't know if you've definitely noticed this, Pete, but all shops, right, in Japan have this terrible cheap music, right? And it always seems like an afterthought. It's always like 7-Eleven always plays Daydream Believer. Hard Off plays a really annoying song that just stays in your head forever. And supermarkets
Hard Off is particularly bad. Hard Off is particularly excruciating.
It's probably my least favourite, and we'll get to that in a minute. But a TV commentator who was talking about this week and went viral about how music in supermarkets, far from being an afterthought, is actually carefully crafted to have a psychological effect on its customers. God. For example, a cheap-sounding music, which sounds like generic background music, is meant to subconsciously convince customers that shopping at the supermarket is cheaper than others, which is why it's so popular among cheap neighborhood supermarkets and discount stores to play this kind of background music. Not only that, but playing faster-paced music around lunch and dinner time increases merchandise turnover in the restaurants and food shops and can encourage customers to leave as well. And of course, if you come to Japan, you'll know that when shops and supermarkets or anything comes to a close, about 10 minutes before the place shuts, they start playing Auld Lang Syne in this really sort of depressing way to make you feel like it's like a kind of you've had your fun, now fuck off kind of song.
Yeah.
And I hate it. It really annoys me. Like I'm knee deep in shopping. And then you'll hear, and it's really slow and depressing and ominous. And it's like the party's over, get out. But apparently by playing French music by the sales corner with the French wine, it does actually increase the sales of French wine, as does Italian music for Italian wine. It's quite interesting. I'd never thought of all this. And playing music faster makes people walk slightly faster, which I guess makes sense because a lot of folks listen to sort of fast paced music while they work out to get them in their sort of mood. I know I do. But there you go. The crappy music that play in the stores across Japan, it's done for a very clever subconscious reason. Now sing us the hard off song, Pete.
Oh, I can't remember how it goes now, but it's excruciating. And check it out on YouTube. It's interesting until you realise how often it's played in the shop. It's played every 30 seconds. It's
awful.
Horrific.
This goes like... And they do that for like 3 minutes, and then they play like a hard-off rap, and it's like... Hard-off. And it's just so annoying.
Dreadful.
And it actually makes me want to leave. I think there's... it does feature in a Braun Japan video, the episode where Joey and I do the Pimp My Bike in Journey Across Japan, where we had Ichimayen, about $100 each. We went in and bought loads of crap and stuck it to our bikes. And we went in hard off, and the song was playing as we went in, and either Joey or I sang it or hummed it. Or you can just listen on YouTube if you want to avoid that. But they play so much awful music. But it's interesting to think it has that effect on us. How can I increase sales of a Braun Japan merchandise in the videos with music, Pete? What can I do?
It's like when they're in Target where they have a where they put all of their really expensive tellies at the front of Target, and people go, God, that's pretty expensive. Like, why would anybody buy any of those televisions? But so, of course, when they walk through the rest of the store, everything seems very cheap. So you could just have one T-shirt that's very expensive, and then all the rest of the T-shirts look like absolute bargains.
Yeah, I remember I got a really good book on the psychology of pricing once, and it's fascinating. Like, I learned that I remember there was a supermarket that had like 12 different types of shampoo. I think it was Radox, really popular kind of shampoo in the UK. And they had 12 different types at the end of the place where people queue. And what they noticed was it attracted more people but less sales. Then another one, the next row over, that just had 3 types of shampoo. People bought more there because there was less choice, right?
Right.
People overwhelmed with 12 different types. So it drew people in. It drew in more people, and more people looked at the 12 different types. But actually more people bought from the shelf that had 3 types only because it was less choice. It was less overwhelming. Subtle things like that really makes a big difference. It's fascinating. Fascinating. But yeah, I've got to try and find a way of doing that to push the merchandise. Again, any ideas? What music sells T-shirts?
I don't know, like really, really slow, grinding mathcore. Like really slow, horrible late 90s emo. It's really
emo
depressing.
Crack out the song Natsuki wrote at the end of Natsuki the Movie. Maybe that'll push.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good. That was more punk rock though, wasn't it?
It was punk rock. Because nothing made sense in that song. I forgot all we went through to make that damn song. It's about 2-3 years ago now, isn't it? And good God, he wrote the song in Japanese.
It's a different world.
Oh, he wrote the song in Japanese, and I had to like translate it into English. And then, oh God, it was extremely difficult trying to make that song into something that made sense. But it kind of worked. It kind of worked.
Well, worth checking out.
Yeah, check it out if you missed it, guys. It's one of the great highlights of the Abroad in Japan channel.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week on Stakhanov.
Throughout January, Clash of the Titles are letting you pick the films being battled out on air. Already binged your way through Netflix during lockdown? Listen as Alex, Vicky and Chris rediscover and tear apart old and new favourites alike, week in, week out.
I like that here, though, that Michael Bay starts as he means to go on. I made a list of sort of Bayisms from this sequence. Low angles, lens flare, dry ice, washed out colours, military hardware, men marching, orchestral score, guitar riffs.
Or if you're looking for some much-needed escapism, why not catch up with the Abroad in Japan podcast? Chris was recently joined by Joey the Anime Man to discuss mastering conversational Japanese.
That's a really interesting topic, bat channeling, which is where you kind of go,
In Japanese, if you don't do the every now and then people just think you're not listening or you're ignoring them.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
And now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from John from Telford. Hello, John from Telford. Hi, guys. Much appreciation for answering my previous question. Got another question, though. Double bubble. I have another question related to my hobby of retro game collecting. I follow several other YouTube channels that go around the many video game stores in Japan hunting for games. It's easy to think the Japanese take very good care of their possessions due to having games and consoles with their original packaging in immaculate condition, despite being 20 plus years old. And I've also heard Pete touch on this previously. However, upon closer inspection, these stores are also filled with many retro cartridge games and consoles with no packaging at all, where the store will shrink wrap them. I've had it mentioned that in Japan, when the packaging gets any slight scuffs or blemishes, that it is disposed of. So in stores, you either get the mint condition packaging or you get a loose cartridge, nothing in between. Here in the UK, and presumably the rest of the world, secondhand stores will stock items in a range of different conditions. That makes sense. Could you shine any light on this, says John, whether it's true, the reason why this is the case, and whether this applies to any other areas of life in Japan. Yes, old people, once they get a little bit frayed at the edges, they throw them in the bin. They don't do any of that.
Well, you say that. There was a Japanese politician a few years ago who was just like, it'd be easier if the elderly people just died. Do you remember that? It was
Kind of.
Sadistic man.
Yeah, it's a strong. I mean, bearing in mind that older people generally vote more, it's a strong
bold
thing
move.
To say, isn't it?
Yeah,
bold move.
Don't think he lasted very long in that position. love that we took a sharp turn there, didn't we? Going from secondhand games to throwing old people in a bin. I don't know if that's true or not. What I do know is when I bought my Game Boy 2 or 3 months ago, which I haven't played that much because I've still failed to beat the Super Mario Brothers original game. It still eludes me. Mm. I still hate that damn game. There were lots of Game Boys in Super Potato, and a lot of them were quite scuffed and yellow and chipped and dirty, but they were a lot cheaper. So I feel like they do stock things that aren't in mint condition. Like I had a choice. I think I paid 8,000 yen, about $80, for my perfect condition Game Boy. Like I wanted to feel like I just bought it and it was brand new. But for about 4,000 or 5,000 yen, about $40-$50, you could buy the model that was all yellow and dirty and horrible. But what I do like in shops like Hard Off, and for those of you that don't know what Hard Off is, even though we talked about it earlier, it's a secondhand shop. They sell like secondhand goods and things. And, my favorite bit is the junk section, and they have these big blue boxes just filled with broken stuff. Like you can get a broken Game Boy in there for like 100 yen. And these are all things that are about like 100 yen, 200 yen, and they're all broken. It could be like a video recorder or a camera. Like broken cameras and things, and it's really fun just having a rummage through there and seeing what you can find. Like, have you gone and actually done it yourself, Pete, while you've been here?
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that sort of thing. And you can buy phone chargers for phones that haven't existed for about 50 years. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's just and none of it's filthy, but everything is very much forgotten about, if you know what I mean.
I remember seeing like a Nokia 3310, like the original super duper Nokia that everyone had back in like 2002. It's pretty nostalgic. Yeah, you can get anything in Hard Off. I really want to go there now.
Yeah.
I did recently buy a ski jacket there as well. Good place to get clothes.
Ski jacket. Brilliant.
Buying a secondhand ski jacket. What have I become?
Love it.
We've got one here from Andy from Leeds in the UK. And he says, Konnichiwa. Konnichiwa, Chris and Pete. On a recent trip to Japan, I noticed you could get everyone's favorite lunch meat, Spam. Yummy spam sushi. In fact, it even had a picture of it on the tin. Have you come across any other Japanese takes on Western food that are just as bizarre? Obviously, we have 300 weird Kit Kat flavors, but I was wondering what else there may be to seek out on my next trip, hopefully in 2021. Really enjoyed journey across Japan, escape to Mount Fuji. All the best, Andy from Leeds. Spam. I mean, rather than being a weird take on spam, it is just spam, like in Okinawa, because there's a lot of American servicemen down there. They have it. I think in the post-war era, a lot of American troops enjoyed spam down in Okinawa. And so it became a part of the cuisine, right? And you see all these shops just filled with spam. And when I flew out of Okinawa from the airport, not just by my own accord, like Peter Pan, at the airport, they had a little restaurant that served spam sushi, and it was awful.
All right.
And I'm never going to have that again. It's absolutely disgusting.
Well, was it when we went to that restaurant? I can't remember when we went. It was that school restaurant. I'm fairly certain that I had this kind of, I had some kind of spam meal.
Corned beef.
It was delicious. Oh, it was corned beef. Yeah, it wasn't even spam. It's corned beef, wasn't it? Yeah. Fair dues.
I love Humbeer. Yeah, if you come to Japan, guys, next time you're over, go to Humbeer, the 1950s, 60s style place. And corned beef is a popular dish there because, again, it goes back to the post-war era and it serves dishes from that time. Corned beef. And they serve it with mayonnaise. But you got to be careful. It comes in a tin. And I remember one time I screwed up opening the tin. I cut my finger off. Not all of it, but a fair chunk, and it became
a
rather unpleasant affair, eating the corned beef with my finger all over the place. Can you think of any other dishes, though, Western foods that have been like vandalized in Japan or adopted?
The delicious spaghetti bolognese you buy in 7-Elevens. Of a weekend, when you're a bit hungover, you just go for a bit of food, and it's always like, and I go, oh, shall I have some of that delicious spaghetti? And it's just absolutely rank, absolutely rank. Though you do sometimes get every now and again, you get a lovely bit of carbonara, which is fine.
You've got to be careful though. The carbonara in a lot of the convenience stores, the egg on top, right? They have this nice egg that's sort of resting on top of the carbonara. Turns out the egg is fake. It's completely fake.
What? And what do you mean it's completely fake?
It's not a real egg.
Some kind of protein, some mad protein.
Effectively, yeah, it's a synthetic egg. The reason being, it has a longer shelf life, right? I used to buy these carbonaras, and I can't cook. So I'd go down the convenience store, buy a carbonara with an egg on, and it'd be lovely. Mix it all up, and it tasted relatively good. What I later found out, though, is that the eggs aren't real because they have a poor shelf life, naturally, just sticking an egg on top. And often the egg is slightly cut open, so the yolk kind of runs out a little bit. But it's synthetic. I don't know how they've done it. It's like protein and various matter. And they did a good job. The fact that I didn't know it was a fake egg for all those years that I ate it would indicate they did a pretty good job. But certainly after I found that out, I never ate it again. And I haven't had it since.
Yeah.
So I should have kept it a secret better. I should have kept it a secret. We've got one last one from Damien. It says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Chris, how does it feel to have served a birthday cake to the richest man in the world? Keep going with the podcast, guys. You are the best." Thank you, guys, from Damien. Feels a bit weird, but then...
Yeah, I mean, forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't know, really. Served Elon Musk a birthday cake. Now he's the richest man in the world. I don't think that will last long. I think Tesla stock is due a reckoning, like Bitcoin, but we'll see. We will see. My dad every day messaged me going, "You should have bought a Bitcoin. Should have bought a Bitcoin." It feels like gambling there, doesn't it? And I don't want to end this podcast talking about Bitcoin or talking about Elon Musk's fantastic wealth now that he's worth $185 billion, more money than quite a few countries in the world have. What do you make of it, Pete? What are your thoughts? Closing thoughts?
I don't know. I always think that. You know, I know a lot of people who worship the ground Musk walks on because obviously he's very successful. You know, same with your Bezos and stuff like that. But fundamentally, they couldn't go to the bank and ask for that amount of money out. They'd have a certain amount of money. The rest would be tied up in stock. So I'm saying that Elon Musk probably has about $100 to his name. Fluid.
And that is how Pete Donaldson sleeps at night.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Correct.
What would you do with $185 billion though? I mean, you could technically sell a lot of it. I think there's a clause that you can't sell all of it, but you can sell some of it. What would you do though with $185 billion?
Probably buy a house. I've not got a house.
Buy a house.
So. very much the basic, wouldn't it? The basic stuff.
It'd be interesting to see if he does use that money for like building a base on Mars or investing it in space travel. It's interesting, both of the world's richest men, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, are also have rocket companies on the side, don't they? SpaceX and Blue Origin. And Jeff Bezos sells about $1 billion of stock every year in Amazon to fund Blue Origin. And now between them, they've got, well, over $300 billion. They can actually create a city on the moon. Why aren't they doing it yet? Why aren't they doing it, Pete? Where's our city?
Just busy, innit? Busy, mate.
Busy, innit?
Busy running the business, innit?
Oh, excuses. I mean, what would you do though with $185 billion, guys? Let us know at broadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Wednesday to do it all over again. But for now, have a great, enjoy what's left of your weekend. Enjoy the start of the week, and we'll see you to do it all over again on Wednesday. Have a good one. $185 billion. Damn it.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.